Salaman lakum. Peace be with you. Friends, Reverend Pastor, pastors, I am grateful for this opportunity to worship God with you and for lending me your pulpit. I praise God for all of you this morning. I greet you personally and on behalf of a sister church, the Presbyterian Church of Syria and Lebanon, a church that came into being in the early 19th century through the loving work of missionaries from this country, from the church of the Presbyterian Church in this country, and also from Europe. So we continue to be sister churches. We consider ourselves as the daughter church of the Presbyterian Church USA. Thank you for your mission work in our part of the world. The church is endowed with a mission. The church is endowed and commissioned to carry a great mission in the world to spread love, light, and hope. Mission, as you know, is the reason for the existence of the church. And any church that loses its vision for mission, in fact, loses the purpose for its being, for its life. Luke, the evangelist, shows us that on the first appearance of the Lord Jesus in the synagogue after he has been tempted by the devil for 40 days, as we have heard, comes to the synagogue and stands to read. And he read the passage from Isaiah, which sounds like a poem. And it was, according to Luke, the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. Luke seems to want Jesus to announce and describe his own mission. In fact, we do not know if that passage was assigned for that Saturday or Jesus picked it up. The book was given to him, and he opened the book, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And as you know, Luke, in everything that follows, was very concerned to show the details of Jesus' mission being fulfilled. Jesus, in fact, has fulfilled the scripture to its fulfillment, to its point. Jesus gave hope to the hopeless, fed the hungry, healed the sick, raised the dead. He freed those who were bound to sin and forgiven those who looked up to him. Jesus gave himself to the world. John, the evening of the Easter, when Jesus was victorious over death, on the evening of Easter Day, visited his disciples who were hiding for fear of the Jews while the doors were shut. Jesus stood among the disciples. "Peace be with you," he greeted them. Then he showed them his pierced hands and wounded side and said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." If Luke had Jesus describe his own mission in details, John had Jesus hand in his mission to the disciples. It's frightening to read the two texts together. The church, the Christian person, cannot but say, "Can I be receiving that mission?" The church on that evening received the honor to carry the mission of Jesus. Can it? Can the church carry the mission of Jesus as being described by him? Does it not look an impossible task? For many of us, it does. Surely the church over history, the church struggled, suffered, failed, and succeeded along its history, trying to honor the Great Commission by Jesus. Indeed, the mission of the church includes pain, and the way of the cross is the direction for the church in her mission. I confess, dear friends, that our church, that my church, struggles, and many of the churches in the Middle East are struggling hard in their mission. In fact, we keep asking the question, do we have a mission still, even today? What message we have for our troubled world, troubled part of the world at least? What good news do we have? Can a church maintain its mission of the good news when its own existence is being threatened? When its life, or when it lives in areas that lacks peace, light, love, and hope, can it live its mission? Can it, when violence is the daily experience of all the people? Can we? I hope you don't have the same challenges that our church has in its mission. John, on the other hand, wrote when he was an old man, probably the last of the eyewitnesses of the event of Christ. He wrote to a church who probably was struggling with its mission and faith, saying, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light despite the lack of peace and justice, despite poverty, despair, hopelessness in the world. God is light means that God loves, God forgives, and God shines in our hearts to dispel the darkness. Light brings to our being freedom, deliverance, and hope. Yes, the challenges of the Christian mission is overwhelming, especially in the Middle East, and more especially in Syria, my country. The challenges are more serious than ever before, and our church is guilty of its fear and lack of faith sometimes. We forget that our Lord promised to be with us always until the close of the age. We are guilty of being afraid, and we need repentance. Indeed, the last 8 years, in the face of the Arab Spring, the church in the Middle East lost its hope. The church in the Middle East, in the 8 years that have passed, in the face of the Arab Spring, that is full of violence, no colors, no hopes of a spring that turned into stormy winter. We experience loss of hope on many levels. We live in fear for the future and ask the question, will there be a future for our children as a church? Will we ever be able to spread the good news of the gospel? To whom, how, when, why, where? Let me invite you to Syria to justify our hopelessness and fear, so to see what has been going on 8 full years now. Syria, from where the Christian mission first spread around, its churches being attacked and destroyed, its priests and bishops are being kidnapped and disappear, where the Christian community in some parts are given the one choice to convert to Islam in order to live, where on some churches the black flag substitutes the cross, where Christian youth are kidnapped for ransom? Or must I accompany you to the camps of those made refugees in neighboring countries? Lebanon has over 2 million. That's almost 50% of the Lebanese population. 2 million of those refugees, some legal and some illegal. Lebanon is struggling to care for those and does not have the resources nor even the space. Or maybe accompany you to the centers of the millions, 6,500,000, displaced internally. They have nothing, they have lost everything they ever had, and wait for distribution of food and medicine and the clothes. Should I take you there to watch the misery of women and children? Will all those convince you that the Church of the Middle East has reason to neglect this mission? Can a helpless church carry a mission of the good news to helpless communities in a hopeless situation? Can it? Do we have enough reasons, in your opinion, after you hear and you see what has been going on? We have reasons to neglect our mission and forget it. Brothers and sisters, nothing in the world can justify the church neglecting its mission. We are to spread the light and the love of God, no matter what circumstances we face. Our hope comes from God through Jesus Christ, who is the source of hope. Hope, thank God, never depends on the human circumstances. It is from God who wills that all will have life and enjoy his grace, even in the middle of the violence in Syria. We must remember that Luke showed us Jesus describing his ministry after he was victorious over Satan. And John had Jesus victorious over death. Yet, his peace was overwhelming. With the pierced hand, he greeted his disciples with his peace. God is light. That was the message of John to a struggling church. Light is our message in Lebanon, in Syria, in the Middle East, and your message as well, now and always. Light gives us courage to stand for what is right and good, and against what is evil, despite the fear, despite the powers that threaten us in our world. Friends, I invite you to be with us in our struggle, so to continue in faith, and so to face all the challenges before us. We, as a church, as the Presbyterian Church and many other churches, we are doing what we believe God wants us to do. So we get involved in relief work, in education of the children, in everything that we can, in creating spaces for hope, in bringing communities to reconcile together. We do what we can, but the need is far beyond what we can offer. Pray for our mission in doing relief work among the hundreds of families that we as a small church care for, as we respond to the cries for help. The crying people in need are in millions, being refugees, being displaced, having lost their beloved ones and everything they have. Pray with us and for us to rescue as many children from the camps in Lebanon, those children who are living in the mud, denied everything that is normal to human children. Pray for us in our attempt to help reconciliation among the communities that have lost their confidence in their neighbors, so that a space for hope can be a reality. Stand with us for justice and righteousness through becoming voice for the voiceless, and so promoting peace and negating violence. Help us face all our challenges with faith, love, and hope, so that the light of God shines in our part of the world. The church, my friends, never should ask the question, do we have a mission? Rather, the question should be, how can we do it better? We can do our mission better if we catch the Spirit of Christ, who has given himself for the life of the world. May we all catch the Spirit of Christ and do the mission in doubt on us and we are commissioned to do. Let us pray. Lord God, our friend, our brother, and our Savior, and the one who gave himself for the life of the world, we commit our life and all you want us to do into your hands, because you can do it. You are able, and that's what you want, peace for the world. Accept our gratitude for the glory of your name. Amen.